You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems.
One show. I'm going to start recording now. I maybe do like one show just to say that I fucking did it. But mainly now, it's just like, because when Beanstalk and I perform, I'm naked. So I might as well look good,
right?
Yeah. I mean, the project doesn't make sense unless Beanstalk looks like hell and I look insane. You know, that's like
no,
the
you know,
point.
You know what would be crazy is if you got Beanstalk really into it, bro.
I try. I mean, God, he's lazy. It's not really his fault. Like, the pills he has to take and stuff, they make it impossible to get in shape.
Pills for what?
His mental imbalances.
Damn, that sucks. Probably fucked with his thyroid and shit, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I should probably edit this out of the show. But
just fucking inject him with Tren when he's like sleeping and shit.
He's probably, I would get him on test before anything, because I'm sure if he got tested, the doctor would be like, what the fuck? You don't have any left.
That's funny. Yeah, I would love to do some sort of, like, I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm tall as fuck, so it's like, damn, I gotta, like, and I got a big-ass frame, so I gotta put on a lot of size. Like, I'm talking, like, I gotta be 300 and relatively lean. You know,
that's huge. Like,
I know. Well, not when I'm 6'3" and shit. You know, think about Samson. He's like 6'2", right?
He's only 6 foot.
He is. I thought he was like 6'2".
No, they're acting like this guy's a fucking Goliath, but he's just like a soft 6 footer.
Yeah, but is Andrew Jack? Is he 6'2"? One of them is.
Andrew Jack is 6'2".
Okay, yeah.
And he looked
that
actually,
makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Why they always talk about how he looks lanky and shit? You know, they're always like, "Oh, he looks like a what?" I heard I don't know if it was Fuad or someone said that he looked like a basketball player or something.
Kind of. I mean, yeah. I would just say Andrew Jack is missing hams and maybe like a little depth to his back. But if that guy can grow or just like take a break, I don't think. I can see that being like a Mr. Olympia caliber kind of guy, you know. The thing is, though, these guys are all starting late.
Right.
I think Andrew's already like 38, and he was just like the reason. Do you know how he got noticed?
Because of Larry Wheels, right, or some shit.
Yeah, he was just like in the background of Larry Wheels videos, and people would just be
just
like,
"Jack got
it? The fuck is that?"
Yeah, isn't that insane, bro? Like genetic freak that he just kind of like half-assed it and he looked like that.
It's nuts. Yeah, he was like a CrossFit guy before he was ever proper bodybuilding.
Crazy.
I mean,
I know he's older, but I mean, he hasn't really been doing it for that long. That's what they say. So that, like, you know, he's still fresh. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure the body ages and shit, so it's like it might not be able to handle that kind of, you know, dieting and drug protocol.
Yeah, I'd feel much better starting at, I mean, they used to start like what? Sean Ray was 19, Lee Priest was like 18.
Yeah.
Jay like Cutler's first show, he was 21. Like, they used to get in really young and then just beat themselves up, and then they'd be done by the time they're 40. But everyone's talking about, like, I don't know. Like, I really think, like, Milos is the most annoying fucking Euro trash.
Yeah.
Like, this guy goes on, like, 1,000 fucking podcasts a week.
Yeah.
Like, seething. Just coping and seething. Hey, he was the best bodybuilder on that stage. And everyone's like, he just refuses to listen to the things that everyone is. He's just trying to, like, mog Samson into being champion. But dude, just like get him in shape. It's like if it takes him a while to get in shape, just get him on a long diet. And if he can't commit to it, then he's not good enough.
I think that's what they're trying to do. That's why he did the Romania Pro recently. You saw that?
So yeah, I think he did look probably better.
They're probably like fucking make him do both Arnolds this year and diet a bunch of times so that like Olympia comes around. He fucking, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I'm Nick gang, you know. I'm rooting for Nick, bro.
Yeah, same. I think he's the best bodybuilder in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
what about Hunter Labrada? What do you think about him?
Hunter Labrada is big. He can get lean, but that guy's got so many holes, like just from badly training and dieting for a long, like the fact that he gets like 3% body fat and still looks like he has zero lines in his abdominals.
Yeah.
And it's distracting.
He just has like a weird looking, he's got like a fucking weird physique. Like it's just like, I guess it's so balanced that none of it pops out, you know? Or it's just like, I don't know.
Like, yeah, because you look at him in isolation, he's got an insane back, got huge legs, huge shoulders, but it just doesn't come together right.
Yeah.
It's all about, I mean, that's really. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, that's like, at the end of the day, it's just like how it comes together. Like, Crizzo is another guy that I think could be a Mr. Olympia caliber, but like, he still has these weirdly flat ass cheeks. That become distracting, dude.
Everybody's always talking about small ass glutes and shit.
Yeah, it's a weird flaw because, like, once you notice it, it's like, it is strength. Like, if you train squats or leg press, you should be activating your glutes to a degree. And it's almost like he's just not doing the movements right.
It's weird that, like, your eyes wouldn't develop, you know?
Yeah. But, sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, fuck. I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Oh, Hunter. Yeah, he's fucking. Did you ever see that like story that Nick Trigilli covered with like him and his ex-coach and best friend falling out?
I saw the interview. It was fascinating.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. Yeah.
They really hate each other.
Yeah, dude. Hunter, just like his like personality is just so fucking lame. Just like PR train. Just like, I don't know. It was just like so boring to me. Just like, I don't know. And the other dude, his best friend, was like so offended and just like, yo, I just want like an apology or just an explanation. And Hunter's all like, it's like he's doing like a press conference or some shit.
I got the dates. On this date, you told me to drink milk, but in fact, I'm lactose. It was very strange. Yeah, I don't think Hunter is going to have a very long career, to be honest. Like, his first Olympia when he beat Nick, everyone knows, was a gift. Right.
Yeah.
And then the next year he was like drinking steak and shit, so he looked like a fatso on stage. Yeah. And then the third year he got some heat again from winning that show. But then he like I watched the Texas Pro live.
Mm.
And I was watching it with Michelle actually, and Michelle was just like, you can't take your eye just goes to Andrew Jack. Like Hunter just looks like nothing next to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to have much of a career, which must suck because his dad's probably like mocking him and making him feel like shit, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's
different.
Weird that his coach is Ben too. It's just like, I don't know, just like a random, he never was an IFBB pro. He was like an NPC guy forever, never turned pro. Just like, I mean, do you remember, what's his name? Luke Sando, he died.
Yeah.
He was fucking, I think he won an Arnold or some shit, but he was like a big ass dude. I think he was friends with Benjamin Chow, whatever the fuck his name is and shit. And that's like the only way I know Ben, and just because of that and shit. So it's like, it's kind of like a nobody, you know?
Yeah. No, it's weird. The whole coaching and the bodybuilding world, it seems just like there's Hani Rambod and then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, like, who is Jay Cutler's coach? Fucking
Aceto.
Chris Aceto. Yeah.
But he's kind of faded off because he doesn't handle drug protocols, apparently, when it's like.
I thought Aceto was with Andrew Jacked, no?
Yeah, he's training Andrew Jacked and seemingly not doing so well with him. He He got him in Andrew looked great at that qualifying show, but he did not look 100% at the Olympia.
Yeah.
I still think he should have beat old man Curry, but
yeah, why do people hate on him so much? I don't get that.
On Brandon Curry?
Yeah. Like, you think he's like, got he never no legs. Won an Olympia?
He definitely is the most undeserving winner ever.
Of the Olympia.
The year that he won was like, I don't know. I think either Phil should have won coming back. He still looked better than everybody, or Hottie looked insane that year. But Hottie was still just like a Sandy from the fucking Middle East, so they weren't going to give him shit. And I guess they just thought Brandon was their guy that year, but he was always pretty mid.
What Olympia was that he won?
I think that was
2019.
Yeah, Rami won in 2020. And Rami was a lot more convincing than Brandon, because at least he's fucking enormous. But
yeah, so who got second at that one?
The one that Rami won?
No, the one that Curry won.
Oh, I think it was either Hottie. It was Hottie or Phil.
No, it's what's that guy's name? I'm looking at a picture of him right now. It's like Bonnet. Some weird.
Oh, William Bonac. William Bonac.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. William Bonac. What happened to him?
He's retiring this year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I always liked Bonac.
Yeah, he got good physique.
Bonac was fucking huge back then, actually, but he's tiny. He's like, I mean, he's only like 5'4".
Damn, bro. See, all these guys are fucking short, dude. It's like, I wish I was fucking shorter.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it still kind of works against, like, you know, when a guy has stature, at least some stature, like Phil probably being like 5'10 was probably just the ideal, you know?
Yeah.
Short enough to fill out, but tall enough to not like get dwarfed by some of the taller dudes. Or like what Ronnie was like 5'11. I guess that height's probably ideal. Yeah. Cause like for me, you look back at pictures of the late 90s, Lee Priest is fucking huge and peeled. Yeah. But
what is he like five? He's like 5'3 or something, right?
He's like 5'3. Yeah. You know, and he's going to look small no matter what. But you definitely could have made a case that he could have been Mr. Olympia a few of those years. Oh, William's here.
Do you follow like any of? I know like it's like kind of like a dick point. How old are you, bro?
35.
Okay, so we're like 8 years apart. So it's not that big of a different age gap, but it's like, you know how like the gym kind of Zoomer culture is now. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, there's like kids all, like, being the, like, "I'm on trend."
Yeah, and like the edits, like they'll be like funk edits and shit of like all. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah. So it's like, why is everyone obsessed with Tom Platz suddenly?
Yeah, that's a meme. I don't know. He had crazy.
It's
legs,
a, it's a meme. Yeah, but it's like it's not the, but it's also like soft as fuck, and also not even the greatest leg of all time. So it's like,
William, can you hear us? Oh, he's connecting to audio now.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know there was a fucking other option where you could see everybody. I was just looking at you the whole time. But yeah, I don't understand that shit, bro. It's like, I work out with this one kid, bro, at my gym. He's like 20. He's like 6'5", 260. He's natty, but he's like got a pretty good physique for just being natty. But he's like constantly, he calls me a science-based lifter because I try to do full ROMs and shit. We'll be right back. I guess I'm going to start dieting. Do a little mini cut, though.
I would do one of the fucking meal plans. That's what I do.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, they have the prepared, pre-prepared meals
that,
like,
bro, get sent to your house. I'm not made, you must be fucking loaded, bro. I can't afford that shit.
Oh, it's not so bad. It's like $200 a week. Think of what people spend on takeout and shit now.
I fucking spend my money on groceries. I probably spend like $400 maybe a month on groceries, maybe. Maybe a little more.
Yeah, well, that's true. You probably have to eat a lot more than I do.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I'll probably go drop down like 20, 30 pounds, see what it looks like, and then resensitize and might try bulking up again, you know?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well,
I can get fucking peeled, though. I think, like, because I have I was a competitive runner in high school, and because I was a wrestler, my body's just used to dieting really fucking low.
Have you've never been fat in your life?
Oh no, I was like a fat little kid.
Oh yeah, well, that doesn't count though.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
No, my girl is like that. She fucking eats whatever the fuck she wants, bro. She'll eat a whole pack of Oreos and shit, and she's got abs and shit. Doesn't even work out, nothing.
Damn, yeah, I can get fat. I have to watch my food. Like, oh, I'm really? Pretty neurotic about it, yeah.
Yeah, me too. She says I have an eating disorder. I'm like, yeah, what do you think this shit is?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. But don't get me wrong, I'll fucking, when I'm bulking off-season, bro, I get all my meals in, like the protein, the carbs, you know, I get it all in. And then I still eat a bunch of junk on top of that. Like, I'll be like, oh, we're going to have a pizza. I'll eat a pizza, you know?
Yeah.
That's like the hardest part for me is diet and shit.
You know, another thing that I was thinking, though, like with this Olympia, is I kept thinking that it was going to be like one of the best ever because everyone in the top five was so good. Right. Yeah. It ended up being like not that good at all, with a not convincing winner at all. Yeah. All right, William's good. Now I gotta unmute him. All right, can you hear us now, Will?
Yeah, man. Sorry about that. Don't know. No worries. Trying to use a new set of headphones. It was a total pain in the ass.
No worries. All right, I'm gonna introduce the show. Welcome back to another episode of System of Systems, the audio misinformation arm of the Safety Propaganda Counterintelligence Network. This is your host, Mr. Adam Lehrer. I brought on a guest host tonight, old friend, former guest, bodybuilding enthusiast, Lahe Amare. Say hello, Lahe.
What's going on? What's going on,
and
man?
And we have a guest, bodybuilder, William Landry, winner of the... What was the show you won this year, William?
I won the Kuklo Classic.
Yes, Kuklo Classic winner. We are diverting from our normal content this week to discuss, let's say, a hobby of mine, bodybuilding, and in particular, the 2023 Mr. Olympia contest. That's now, what, 2 weeks in our rear view?
Yeah, I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Yeah, that sounds about right. First time winner Derek Lunsford ended up being announced as the champion. Interested in getting both your guys' overall takes of the show, which from my perspective ended up being a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, to you and millions of other people who see it, you know, who can see with their eyes.
Yeah,
we're, very disgusted.
Hey, they always say you weren't there. It's way different in person. You weren't there.
I love that. Scene. You know, somehow we all came to the same conclusion with what we were able to see. Everyone came to the same conclusion, but you know, you have to be told what you're to believe by elites because you're not qualified to have, you know, objective values. You're not qualified to see with your eyes.
You know,
you're not a judge.
We were just talking about Nilo Sarsev. I used to get a fucking kick out of this guy, you know, like he'd go on Jay's podcast or whatever and kick it about the old days. I'm getting awfully sick of hearing him go on like 1,000 podcasts a week and just like coping and fucking seething to the max about his guy not winning, when literally every single person in the world is telling him, if you want your guy to win, you have to get him in shape. And he just like, he's denying that to their face, being like, no, he was the best. And honestly, that's what seems to be happening in a large part of the sport, by and large. It's just flat denial of what you saw. And then like talking points, like proliferating all over the place.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talk about this on my show all the time, is that all of our institutions are corrupt at their core.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, our medical establishment, our media, you know, our education system. And in any one of these industries, you're not allowed free thought. You're not allowed to have your own opinion. You have to go to an expert. You have to go to someone higher than you. You have to be told by an elite or an authority figure, you know, where you should get your opinions. They have to be I'm losing my words here.
Do you think that like there is sort of like a current trend now that they're shifting towards like aesthetics more than like the freaks?
No, I think the trend is money. I think like in all the industries I just named, it's about money. It's about what champion's gonna make them the most money.
This aesthetics on the aesthetics on the comeback talking point makes no fucking sense to me, because I can't remember when that wasn't part of it. Like, you can't tell me that Ronnie Coleman 1998 with his like 30-inch waist and 50-inch shoulders wasn't aesthetic. Like, you can't tell me that Phil Heath, as massive as he wasn't aesthetic. Like, I don't get what they do. They mean they just want the sport to regress to the point where it's like, whatever, 70s level conditioning, because that just means we're going backwards in time.
when they say they chose the more aesthetic physique, they really mean they chose the softer one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They chose the softer body, and they did this in the 212 category as well, you know,
right?
Which doesn't get as much coverage, but they, you know, they gave it to a guy who was much softer and just had a wider lat to waist ratio.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, like, I was actually watching it with my wife, the 212 division, and I thought Clarita had it in the fucking bag.
Easy. Like, by objective bodybuilding standards.
Yeah, like, he's out-muscling him by an extreme degree, and he's peeled, and now they're, like, trying to say he has a bubble gut or something. He doesn't really at all. He's a short stature guy, but he's by far one of the most complete bodybuilders in the world. And then Keon, not in shape, already seems to have, like, a distension in the abdomen, way less definition. And it just, like, right there, it's like, okay, it just seems like they want the guy who might look better in a suit on fucking Conan O'Brien or something.
Well, this is a trend that I find to be the case for our winners have been touted to be winners for years now. They have been groomed for these positions.
Yeah.
Derek Lunsford was always told, you know, oh man, if he goes into the open, he's going to be a Mr. Olympia. The same thing with Keon when he was bombing shows in Classic. Oh, his title is the Prodigy. You know, it's just a matter of time. He's the prodigy. He's the best out there, man. When he, you know, when he gets in shape, which didn't happen, then he's going to win it. So yeah, these guys are groomed, it feels like, for these positions through the industry, through social media. And never forget, like I said earlier about it being money. If you go to Dan Solomon's Instagram page, what it says in the bio is this: at the center of a $200 billion industry.
That speaks volumes. Yeah.
Seriously, look it up. It's fucked. Yeah. I just saw that, you know, within the last 2 weeks.
And even more mind blowing is, with all this money floating around, they still can't put together a proper fucking pay-per-view event that doesn't freeze half the time you're watching it without horrible image quality. Like, I watch the UFC every single fucking pay-per-view, and it looks like you might as well have Paul Thomas Anderson or Tarantino filming the thing. It's so seamlessly edited and sequenced. I'm watching Mr. Olympia, and there are times, like, I remember Hottie comes out on stage, and at one point, it took a minute for the camera to actually point at him. They were just pointing at a red gap in the fucking background. It's such a joke.
Yeah, man, the NPC IFBB is criminal, and the way the athletes are treated, you know, even at the amateur level, the amount of money that's poured into a show and absolutely nothing is given back. You pay to compete. I mean, you pay a lot of money to compete.
Yeah.
And you get almost nothing in return. Now, granted, the shows I've competed at, especially like the one I won, great show, very well put on. There was no morning show and night show. It was all within the span of 3 to 4 hours. All the men competed in pre-judging and then went right back up for the finals. We peaked once. We had great lighting. We had great accommodations and a stellar venue. Now, that being said, I've been to places where it's just criminal, man. Like you're herded like animals. They cover all the fucking venue with construction paper so you don't touch anything. And you just have to sit on the floor, find you a fucking spot. You know, they just march you around like animals, dude. Like,
you don't want to get a can on shit, dude.
Well, I hear that, but goddamn, yeah. Man, it's terrible.
You're talking
250 bucks to compete in a division. And you got guys that are competing in up to 6 divisions. Some guys will do physique, classic, open, and novice of each, and then open of each. And like this is all that money pouring in, bro. All these bikini girls, dude, that's you know, $250 for each one of them. Bing, 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 bing. And nothing's given back. Nothing's invested in. These promoters just rake it in. It's money, man. It's money. At the smallest level, it's money. So what would lead us to not believe that it's corrupt at its highest?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to compare bodybuilding to other sports sometimes, because obviously all these companies are companies. Like the UFC obviously has its simps. It has the guys that they've sort of doctored into its media that proliferate its talking points or uplift the guys that the company wants to uplift. But in bodybuilding, it doesn't even ever... There are a few dark horses and they've been like totally ostracized. So you can kind of know that you can trust them because of the way they've been treated. Say like Lee Priest or, you know, guys straight up kicked out of the IFBB for being honest about something. But the rest of the media, like all these motherfuckers say the exact same things. Like how many of these like Nick Strength and Power shows do I need where they literally are just like, wow, look at this guy. He looks phenomenal. Ain't nothing to criticize here. Really excited for his debut. Roll on to the next one. Guy looks phenomenal. Next Zilla. This guy's the big next thing or whatever.
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with that guy, dude?
That is a weird looking physique, I gotta say.
Yeah, for sure. He's from the same league that Crizzle's from, though, right?
I believe so.
He does compete, yeah.
Yeah, but Crizzle
was trying
to
become an IFB pro, yeah.
Yeah, but Crizzo, like, is on a whole other level from that guy.
Right. So is it like synthol and shit or what? Because his neck is ridiculous.
No, that's his neck.
Yeah, really? I think it's just he's doing too many drugs neck. Or something.
It's a whole lot of heavy deadlifting, and he probably did a lot of direct neck training, and it's a genetic factor. All those things combined into one. We had a guy, shit. If you Google Neckzilla, there was a fella who competed in the IFBB. I forget his name. In the 90s. And his neck was 21 or 22 inches around. It just looked like his head connected to his body all in one. Boom.
Oh, man.
But we've seen it before. And that dude was stupid good. Stupid in shape every time and big as a house. That guy had a crazy physique. I'm going to look his name up real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
While you guys chat.
Wait, so what was your stage weight at your recent win, William?
I was 208 pounds.
What
the and peeled.
At 5'6"
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a midget.
So what is that?
But I was a heavyweight. Like,
you wouldn't do 212 at that weight.
Man, I honestly think as I grow and improve, I think I'll be too heavy for 212. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Over the next 5 years, you know, if I put on the tissue I'd like to see on my body, which would be probably another 15 to 25 pounds, I think I'd be too big for 212. You look at the guys who compete in 212, and they're typically shorter than I am.
Yeah.
They're usually 5'1 to 5'4.
Yeah.
And that's how they can look really big and impressive at that weight cap. If you start getting taller than that, then it's kind of becoming the classic physique thing where it's really going to be your genetic predispositions that are going to carry you to look good in that section. So the super tiny waist, the super small joints, et cetera, et cetera. I'm made of lead. Like everybody asks me when they see me, you know, oh man, are you going to do classic? Are you doing classic? Like I'm fucking 30, whatever pounds too heavy to do classic.
Yeah.
And despite having a great, a relatively pretty physique, you know, with really good lines. But now I'm just too heavy, way too heavy. And I think as I grow, I don't think I'd make 212.
Well, and 212, like,
fuck classic anyways.
Yeah, that's a bodybuilding light, as I call it. Yeah. That's for guys who can't get big. Like, oh, no, I'm just going to do classic. It's like, well, but why not?
C-Bum has – C-Bum's kind of, like, convinced every kid that he can do classic. You notice that?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Well, that's why he's such a moneymaker, because he kind of has but, like, the guys – he's just so – no one else is going to look like that in the way that he does. It's like very unique to his, like no one else. He mogs the entire, like once he leaves that division, no one's going to give a fuck about that division, period.
True.
Like he just mogs everybody on stage.
Yeah. His look is just completely superior genetically. You know, the way his shoulders and chest insert, the his taper to his waist, the flare of his quads. I mean, and a guy like Erz is really good. You know, he's a good bodybuilder. But next to C-Bum, it's like playing, you know, it's like adults versus children.
He makes them look lanky as fuck. I noticed like next to
Yes, him, he makes them all look thin and makes them look and stringy.
Erz is actually a good I was talking about this with Lahe. Erz is a good example of the, let's say, the negative C-Bum effect, where the young good-looking guys are wanting to do this division to the point that it's limiting their capabilities, because Erz was like, he can get up to like 280 and yet he's dieting down to 225 and like probably melting off a good amount of the muscle that he puts on for a division that he's never going to win while this guy is around. So and I think that's happening a lot with the proliferation of divisions. Like 212 is great for someone like Clarita, but who the fuck wouldn't have loved to see Flex Lewis on stage against Phil Heath or whatever? Like, you know what I'm saying? They were both unreal. Fuck the weight.
Yeah, fuck the weight. And this is where you got Hadi Chupan. This is where he came from. He went straight into the open and fucking kicked ass across the board.
Yeah.
You know, I had him winning 4 Olympias now. Based on the completeness of his physique, the total lack of flaws, you know, you can't really pick it apart. The conditioning he would always bring, just a badass bodybuilder from an objective standpoint.
Hold on. How about Nick, though? Where does Nick fall into that conversation?
Nick is on his way up, brother. We don't know what Nick would have brought this year if he wouldn't have tore that hamstring.
I know. It's such a disappointment.
And Nick's good for the sport, too. They know that they can make a lot of money off of Nick. Nick is super popular. He's really popular with the people. You know, he's on the shows, on the podcast. So they wouldn't be able to deny him. You know, they would make
What is their bias against him, though?
Who?
It seems like there's a lot of negative shade thrown Nick. He's popular as fuck. But when it comes to, like, conversations around possible winners, this whole year I was just hearing – Derek Dick Suck, Samson Dick Suck, Hottie Justifiable Dick Suck because he was already the champion. And then Nick, they'd be like, oh, he's going to be pushed out till fourth. But I was thinking to myself, what? I fucking never off. And every time he's on stage, he's better. Yeah. Like, why is he always sort of pushed aside? It's almost like it's a
they say he's got negative an ugly bias. Shit,
I think the thing that's ugly. It's just his calves, man. It's the varicose veins on his calves.
Right.
Yeah. That is a shock factor that makes people question health. That's a shock factor that makes people think that this guy is on a bunch of drugs. When everybody's on a bunch of drugs, you know what I'm saying? It's varicose veins. But when you see something scary like that or, you know, just so different, it's unappealing.
It definitely does catch your eyes, too.
I'm not even gonna lie. Like, the first time I saw those, I was like, "Damn, I wish I had those."
Those are fucking. No, I don't wish I had those.
Dude, they probably feel horrible.
Yeah.
Because it's not like vascular. I have fucking vascularity in my legs. That's a deformity, and it's probably not even from drugs. It's probably some genetic predisposition.
It's a genetic thing. Yeah, it's like weird.
He said his grandmother has them, just like he does. You know.
Yeah.
I thought he had gotten surgery to fix it and shit, but
he got some of them fixed. You can't knock them whole fucking things out in one go.
Yeah.
They literally have to take a back, laser.
He's absolutely coming back, dude.
Yeah, he's.
I didn't see how bad the tear was. So I don't know.
Nah. Branch Warren tore two of them.
Yeah. And Sebum tore one, and It was like months before the Olympia, but it honestly, like, the deformity isn't bad. It looks kind of cool in a lot of ways. So I don't think and he's young enough to come back. Yeah. I'll be right back, guys.
He's able to get the help too. You know, he'd be able to get the top surgeon to work on him to put everything back. Yeah. And the surgery regarding industries is so much more advanced than what it used to be. Like, now they can repair tears and muscle bellies. Whereas they used to not be able to do that before. The doctor who was checking out my bicep was explaining to me that, you know, what they could do now is a whole lot more advanced and accurate as far as cosmetics with injuries now. Because I had a major distal tendon rupture at the ulna 2 weeks before I won the Kuklo Classic. I had competed in Louisiana that weekend, returned to work Monday morning, and blew that tendon. It was like a 2-centimeter rupture, which is about 2/3 of an inch. Damn. And my arm turned fucking purple, bro. It was horrible. My bicep receded. But I ended up not having to have surgery. And I had another MRI done a couple of weeks ago, and it's fully closed. So my arm will grow back to normal size. It's just atrophied a little bit now.
You taking any like BPC and TB and all that shit?
I didn't, man. I kind of was on hard times. So I just couldn't afford anything. At the time.
I've heard like that shit like really – I've never done it, but I've heard that it helps a lot.
Yeah, it does because I have used it for different things. It's a great drug for sure. But growth hormone, you know, for the listener, if you're injured or anything like that, you know, in medical trials, you know, growth hormone halved the recovery times. So that's good enough by itself, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I love growth hormone. For sure.
Man, dude, I'm too fucking broke for that shit. I really want to, though.
Yeah, it's good shit. Rock Conor McGregor bulk, back man. From the dead. Yep. all right, so top three guys at Mr. Olympia this year. We got Samson, who They're acting like it was close, but I don't think it was close between him and the top two guys. He was soft, and he has no back. It's just not there yet.
And then, glutes. He needs bigger glutes too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He really does.
And he had a lot of hype this year after unjustifiably beating Nick Walker at the Arnold Classic.
Shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Yep.
No, yeah. No. That was a crazy call. And
again, but there's the business move.
Yeah.
You see it there? You know, it's, hey, it's a name that's hyped. We want to get this guy into the Olympia. It gets people excited about the Olympia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and it even made me think that, like, do you remember when Nick won the Arnold and Arnold, like, wouldn't come on stage to meet his family or whatever?
No, I don't remember.
Surprised. Not surprised. Yeah,
like, Arnold hated his, like, physique or something, or, like, and he, like, Nick was out there, and he's like, my family just asked that we could come up, they could come up here and meet Arnold, and then they walked on stage, and Arnold just, like, dipped. Like a total fucking asshole. So I was thinking maybe the bias, his own bias shapes judging in that kind of show. Yeah. To an extent. I don't know. But
well, they were saying that what, his quads were smaller at the fucking Arnold.
Sorry, right, go ahead.
That's what they were saying about Nick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he lost the Arnold to Samson because his quads were a lot smaller or something like that. They didn't match. You remember them saying that?
Yeah, they were saying that as a stupid justification because he absolutely came in fucking ridiculous for that show. Like, I don't know that, what...
That floor shot where he's doing the front double bicep, he's got that leg sticking out, and he's on the floor. Oh, that is iconic. Like, that is timeless shit right
there. I'm surprised he could even get into that position, dude.
He's fucking stripped, man. He's probably way more athletic than he looks in the off season, you know. And he has craziest abs. He's an insane athlete, but
this is his best condition for sure. That's why,
yeah. Like I've never like he gets shockingly peeled. I mean, even by sort of like Phil, you know, standards. Early Phil standards, I think Nick is shockingly
Phil never had hamstrings like that. You know, Nick's hamstrings, abductors, everything from behind, his legs from the back, or you never see anything like that. Go through the rosters. I don't think you're going to find another set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
that Team Jensen shit, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's
Yeah.
I mean, Jensen seems like he knows how to get the guys fucking shred, for sure.
Wasn't McCarver was Jensen too, right? Yeah. RIP.
Yeah. You know, but all right. So top two guys, Hottie and Derek. What I didn't understand, even though I don't think it was like the most, like. The Clarita Keon thing to me was a more like what the fuck kind of robbery. With Derek and Hottie, I think it should have come down to the fact that Hottie's way better than him from the front and only slightly worse than the back. So if like you're accurately judging these things, Hottie should have been the clear winner. And the fact that Hottie can't speak the language and, you know, can't promote the show, again, I think we're going back to the business thing there. Yeah. They really wanted a good Christian boy in front of the sport this year, it seems.
Remember when he walked off and they were made a big deal about
that? Yeah. I mean,
we reacted to that live.
Yeah.
We watched it for the first time. Me and one of my co-hosts, we did an Olympia recap last week. That was our episode for the Aikido cast. Mm. And when we got to the end, it's like, okay, well, let's see what the controversy was. Cause I never seen the live footage and it was nothing.
Yeah.
He got announced that they announced the winner. They embrace each other. They're talking to each other, patting him on the back. They stand, take a picture, and then he walks off. And I just asked, I asked our producer, "Hey, E, what did you think of that? Did you see anything there?" He's like, "Dude, it looked normal.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of fucking bullshit. You know, it was. It's such a joke."
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take 10 pictures, just the one. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Bob Ciccarillo is annoying. Right, who wants to hang out with that guy a second longer?
Right. Right.
And I'm sure he was, you know, pissed and let down to a degree, but it has to be some kind of shiv to the woo knowing that your coach just trained some young infidel, some young infidel to beat you at the Mr. Olympia contest. Like, it bodybuilding is the only, yeah.
As what it is, the sting is that you know you were better than that guy on all metrics,
of course,
aside from a couple, you know. But you got a Mr. Olympia who doesn't have an abdomen, who doesn't have a set of abs. That is fucking pathetic.
Well, his abdomen
he has to pull a vacuum because if you take the still shot of where he's crunched, it's fucking terrible. His abs were soft, flabby. His midsection looks terrible. It's blocky. He has to use his wide rib cage. So he has to pull that vacuum to create an X taper. Because if he would do a regular ab and thigh, he would be 10th place on that pose.
Absolutely.
He's and got these, like, next
injection sites in his
fucking there's that too, which the hypocrisy on that point is that Hadi is roasted every year about his shoulders. Mind you, there's nothing in his fucking shoulders. It's scar tissue. You bodybuild that long, you have to put the shit somewhere. Scar tissue builds up. That's why they look hard. They're not fucking inflamed. They're not, you know, that's not a synthol. That's not a sight enhancement. You know, it's scar tissue.
I've also seen him shoulder pressing 160s for reps. So it's not like not strong as fuck, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, they roast Hadi every year. They actually told him, judges' feedback to Hani Rambab one year was that, you know, the judges didn't like that. So he ended up in third place.
Yeah.
Yet the current Mr. Olympia has headlights under his armpits.
Yeah.
You know, whether that just be bad injections or abscess or whatever the fuck that is, how can you throw a man in third place for questionable shoulders when you've got that pointing right at you in a front double bicep? There's just that bias, kind of hypocrisy.
Yeah, they let bias take the fucking wheel in a big way in this show. But you know, I was saying this before you came on, I was really stoked for Mr. Olympia this year. Like, I thought it was going to be the first one in a while that was really fucking competitive, you know. It seemed like everyone in the top five or six was really, really, really good. And then most of these guys ended up not showing up. And then of the two guys that did, one's got like lat bumps and no abs. And then the other guy is just completely robbed, probably for what has to be just reasons of bias. So it ends up just being like another disappointing show. That the sports and like, and what's so weird about being a fan of bodybuilding now is there's really like, as at that level, there's one show really that matters. It's just the Mr. Olympia. So it's all year of speculation, psyops, narrative building, marketing. And then like one day that it happens and nothing actually happens like the many talking heads were predicting all year. So it's like this perpetual fucking limbo state as a fan.
Yeah, it sounds pretty nihilistic when you talk about it like that. It's pretty black. It's pretty bleak. But I think the, you know, as a fan of bodybuilding, you're a fan of the athletes, right? You watch the athlete, and thanks, we have social media and stuff now, so we can follow the guys, you know, see what they're doing, see their improvements, see just it's much more personal. You don't have to wait all year to see your athlete like it would have been in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
So at least there's that. But yeah.
I mean, there's also the Arnold shit. That's like the other, you know, big one. So we got two.
Yeah, that's the other.
Big, you know? Obviously, you have all like the New York, Texas, all that shit, but it's like, I'm talking like big show, you know?
Yeah, but we know at the end of the day, it's the Mr. Olympia that's determining who the best in the world is.
Well, isn't the Arnold paying? Didn't the Arnold just pay like $400,000 for like the
first place? They pay good money, but it still doesn't have like you can win. The way I look at it is like this. Mr. Arnold is like, the Arnold Classic is like announcing this athlete as someone to be reckoned with, as a force in the industry. Yeah. But the Mr. Olympia is solidifying the person in history. You know?
Yeah. There's not as much weight. You could say you won the Arnold Classic 6 times.
Right.
But if you don't have a Mr. Olympia title, you're just overlooked.
Right.
Exactly.
In that respect. You know, it's just not, there's not the weight, there's not the gravitas to it.
Yeah.
Well, they call Nathan Diaz show like the king of the $10,000 shows, right?
Yeah, I mean, I personally love Nathan. I know you, Lahe, don't really like him so much. You'd say he looks like Buzz Lightyear or whatever.
Looks like Buzz Lightyear, dude. It's the ugly ass.
But I actually think
exactly what I'm talking about, dude.
Yeah,
it's fucking brutal.
But I actually think the longness of his torso just makes his lats look fucking huge.
They're way too high, though.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't know. I like Nathan as a person. Like, I love his fucking attitude.
Yeah, me too.
I love how he fist fights the system. He's great. But yeah, that super long torso and those high lats, I don't know. Just, I don't like
it. So there's going to be holes and shit, you know, next to like shorter guys and all that shit. It's not going to look good.
He's definitely a crazy athlete. Like, I'm sure Nate, like, he doesn't look muscle bound. He looks like he's fast. Like, he could beat the shit out of somebody, which I'm sure he has out there in South London or wherever the fuck he's from, Birmingham. And he's always, always in shape. Like, that guy's a goddamn machine for conditioning. Like, I've seen he eats, like, Indian food once a week and still ends up getting, like, sub 5% body fat.
Probably because he gets diarrhea from it, dude.
Cuts natural water once
diuretic
a
curry.
Yeah.
Speaking of William, did you think Samson looked better in the Romania show they just did together?
I didn't think he deserved to win that show either. I think Bruce should have beat him. I think the Iranian next to him should have won.
Who was the one they were talking about? Horse MD. I don't know his real name.
Yeah, that guy looked great.
Yeah,
that's a
great
big
structure. Yeah. Massive biceps, big old legs, very good, very crazy, cool looking physique, and brought the heat. Yeah,
you think that Samson at the O this year will look, or next year will look better because he's probably going to do like multiple shows this year, so he'll like diet down a bunch of times, and then condition will be better.
Staying leaner throughout the year.
Right.
It makes you better in preps. That's for sure. That's why I don't get fat anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I stay really lean and I can hit a show in 6 to 8 weeks.
Damn.
It works better. Yeah.
Well, how long you been bodybuilding for?
11 years.
Okay.
Competing for the last 4.
Okay. So how many years to put on the size that you have? 11 years to this day?
Yeah, 11 years. I mean, I put on 16 pounds of stage weight over the last year. I went from a light heavyweight, weighed in at 191.3 to 207.8 at weigh in. So,
damn.
Yeah, I did that. Training 2 days a week, doing like 1 to 3 sets per body part.
Holy shit.
You want to talk about that? You want to hear some crazy
shit?
Yeah,
dude. What the fuck? Yeah. I've never heard
you want me to fuck up the whole fitness industry for you?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, so we're talking about corrupt institutions, man, and how everything is absolutely fucked. The information that you get is absolutely fucked. Bodybuilding training, quote, and in quote science, it's not even a fucking science, is all just regurgitated disinformation from the 1950s and 60s from bodybuilding magazines. Volume is not a driver of hypertrophy. I repeat that again. Volume is not a driver of hypertrophy.
Okay.
So everything is based off of high volume training. All of these different training systems, what everyone's been doing forever is all the same thing. You know, you have these arbitrary guidelines that everything falls under. 8 to 12 sets per muscle group per week. Why is it in a week schedule? Why is everything down to 7 days? Why is it 3 sets of 8? Why is it 4 sets of 10? Why is it 4 sets of 15? You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Why is it 5 sets of 5?
Yeah.
It's just arbitrary nonsense. It's because some guy did it and was jacked and people just wanted to try what he was doing because whatever they were doing wasn't working. So they constantly jumped between different authorities.
Right? Yeah.
Jumped between all these different individuals and copied what they did. Well, people get success for two reasons. The genetic predisposition for recovery of high intensity stress, where they can tolerate that kind of volume and still grow, have those great genetics, and be on drugs. So everybody trains the same way, but only a few rise to the top.
Yeah.
Well, it's because of genetics. So let's look at what is actually the driver of hypertrophy and see how this differs from what the mainstream teaches. Muscle's an adaptation to stress. That means you'd want to push your body to a place it's never been before for it to want to adapt to the stress you put it under.
Yeah.
Intensity simply means effort. So whatever it is you do at the gym, you want to do it 100% effort.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, let's say there's some magic percentage. Mike Isertel created these magic percentages. Well, he named them the RPE, rates of perceived exertion, reps in reserve. Now, there's no more, there's nothing less scientific than that shit I've ever heard of in my life. You know, how are you going to tell me how many reps you have left in the tank? How are you going to quantify the effort you put into something? But there's a whole industry, and these guys have PhDs after their names. And they're teaching people shit like this. If there was a magic percentage, if you trained at 100%, then you would have covered that base. Make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, if there was some percentage point at which the adaptation would occur, if you did 100, you'd get it. Because there's only two units we can measure, 0%, which you don't lift anything, and 100% when involuntary cessation of the implement happens, not the slowing of the implement, but when it totally stops, you can't fucking move it anymore. Then you're done. Volume's always a net negative. The more work you do, the more work you have to recover from. So logically speaking, one set to absolute failure is enough to grow.
Yeah.
So you build, that's like the Dorian Yates system of training.
Mike Mitzer before him.
Yeah.
You know, that's who Mike Mitzer learned it. That's where Dorian learned it from, was Mike Mitzer. This is what I do, man, is strict heavy duty training. And this was all figured out through training logs. You know, every day I step into the gym, it's like a scientific experiment. You must progressively overload. If you can progressively overload from workout to workout, you know you've adapted to whatever stressor you put yourself in the time before. So there is no replication of tasks. I don't ever repeat the same set twice because I couldn't. Like if I do a true set to failure, if I walk you through one, you could wait 10 minutes. You wouldn't be able to do it again.
Right.
Therefore, it actually tapped into your body's reserve, and it's going to create a change.
Man, I would love to be able to. Go ahead, man.
I was saying, if you're working out 2 days a week, that means you're doing like what, a full body split and shit?
No.
You split it in half? So how does it work then?
Well, there's multiple different splits that you could use. What I did through that last year where I put on that 16 pounds is I had everything split into three different workouts. So I had a chest and back workout, a leg workout, and an arms and shoulders workout. And each one of them was about 5 days apart. So, and it could give or take a little bit depending on how my schedule was. I might go a little sooner, I might go a little later, but you're looking at about three sets per muscle group trained once every 11 to 15 days.
Here I am doing 5 days a week, 24 sets per muscle group, and I wonder why I get stuck at like 188. The only thing my body does is just get more, I don't know, I kind of stop growing at a certain point. I just get more detailed and more hard the more I train. But I also like struggle with the food. I fucking hate shoveling all the food down my throat, and considering I'm in a rock and roll band and do a podcast, it doesn't seem all that necessary to do all the meals all the time. But maybe I'll get more serious about the food this year.
Well, hear me out on this. You know, you're trying to fuel this this dumpster fire of volume, right? I mean, you're doing all of this work, so you're trying to overcompensate with food. You know, when it's not that necessary, man. Even on maintenance calories, if you could progressively overload, you know that a positive change has occurred in the muscle. It's just the science of it, right? So I do the thing, I come back, I could do one rep or 1 pound more the next week or the next session. That's all that really matters, man. I bet if you drop down to training 3 days a week and low volume, high intensity, like I'm talking about, your physique will change dramatically immediately. Like, dude, you're going to experience fullness like you've never felt before. You're going to have pop to everything. There's going to be so much more roundness. It's crazy because the body's just going to be refreshed. It's going to operate like a machine. It's not constantly redlined and beat up.
Yeah. Damn, I can tell. I can usually tell when I'm doing junk volume too. Like, you know, I get to that point where I'm like, whatever, doing lat raises and my shoulders are so fucking filled with blood that I can barely move anyways. So I mean, I know when to hightail it out at the gym, but I do like doing my heavy set to failure. And then, like say I'm pushing 110s or something like that. Getting those for 8 to 10 and on the 10th rep nearly dying. And then like immediately going down to 50s or something. I do like the feeling of that sometimes, like just pumping shitloads of like blood drop there. Sets
and shit.
Yeah, I like a drop set.
Like I've never enjoyed, like I've only been training 2 years, you know, and I'm, but I've, you know, I'm trying to get to 300. I'm trying to pack on another 40 pounds. I've never enjoyed doing the low volume shit, but I know that it works, the Mike Mentzer style training. It's just,
yeah,
I've always, I don't know. I just like doing the fucking volume bullshit. You know, it's probably more fun and shit. It's probably not true failure, because obviously you wouldn't be able to do that if it was, you know?
Exactly.
But, like you were saying. But shit, I mean, you're making a convincing argument. I might want to start trying. It's, well, just,
that's the thing, man. My argument, it's all based on logic. You know,
yeah.
I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm not, like, it's a theory of exercise science, and it's rooted in logic and objective reality. And if you take each individual variable and you strip it down to its bare, what you have, I mean, you can apply it,
yeah,
and it fucking works. It works crazy. I love to train too, but training 5 days a week would be a detriment to me.
Right.
There's no way I could sustain it with my current levels of output.
So, like, peak off season, like, what is, like, how many carbs a day is that for you then if you're training only 2 days a week?
Bro, I still have, I mean, a standard meal is 350 grams of rice, with 225 grams of protein, and a couple tablespoons of olive oil. So you're looking at, that's like 100 grams of carbs a sitting. Right. I'll have that, you know, minimum three times a day with two other extra meals. So, yeah, you're looking at 500, 600 grams of carbs right there. On training days, I use insulin. So there's an extra 400 grams of carbs on those training days.
Damn. So, yeah, you do 900 on training days and shit?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. I've never used, like, insulin and shit, but I know, like, 1,000 is, like, standard, right, for most big guys and shit. You
know? Yeah. I've never used insulin either, but but I don't know. I think one of the reasons I just got used to training like that is just because my background, I mean, I was a competitive runner and a competitive wrestler, where the whole principle is just killing yourself every fucking day. If you're not moving, you're not, you're fucking yourself up. You're not going to be able to, get in shape, but,
yeah, well, it's about endurance. That's all about endurance.
Which is a totally different thing. Exactly. I mean, when I was wrestling at like 135 and then 142. So I mean, that was like 50 pounds of muscle to go anyways, like, and not to mention like 14 years of time. So, or no, 20 years of time. So whatever.
You just got to look at the definitions of the terms, you know. Anaerobic exercise means brief, intense, and infrequent. Aerobics is not intense. It's frequent and it's often. You know, there's a lot of work being done every day and it's not that intense. What most people do in the gym with weights is aerobics. You know, they train for endurance. They repeat the same task. It's not anaerobic by definition. Training 5 days a week isn't infrequent. Being able to perform 12 to 20 sets is not intense. Because if it were, you just wouldn't be able to perform that many. You know what I'm saying? You'd be smashed. You'd be done. And it's not brief either. You know, staying in the gym, training an hour and a half, 2 hours a session isn't brief either. So just so that it doesn't even fit the definition.
Right. Damn.
I'll never go back, man. And once I experience the results of this brings, it's profound, man.
Yeah,
it's absolutely crazy. And the time, man,
If I went down,
saying I have a wife and two kids who work construction, and I'm able to fucking to compete at that level, and you know,
yeah, that's crazy. I'd never heard of someone doing 2 days a week. I've heard the three, you know, twos, you know. But damn,
you work yourself down to that. So they're like, here's a caveat, like, so people don't think that they just need to jump in and start training 2 days a week. It's all about, I had to work myself down to that point because I would reach a sticking point or plateau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because so the further you get into it, the more force you'll be able to produce. The more force you're able to produce, the more damage you could do to the muscle. So the bigger and stronger you are, the more damage you can cause in a single session, which is going to take longer to recover from. So lowering my volume and my frequency is what it took to keep my numbers progressing in the books. So when I started, it was 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And before that, before I moved to strict heavy duty, I would do 2 sets of everything, but I would stall and stick every 6 to 8 weeks. And then I would get fucking banged up. Like my elbows and my joints would hurt. I have tendonitis, and I was supposed to deload, but I don't know how to slack off. So I would just go back and train. I would train to failure with lighter weights. And it was like a nasty perpetual cycle until I heard this theory presented to me. Dropped everything down to 1 set. And just like I said, just checked it in my books. And I worked my way down to this because that's what was necessary to keep making progress.
You said it was 3 sets per a muscle, right?
Muscle group, yeah. So like if you're talking shoulders, shoulder training would look like a press, a lateral raise, and something for the rear delts.
Okay, I was going to ask if it was like, okay, so 1 set per movement, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, one set per movement, right.
So how are you not counting, obviously you're not counting like the working sets, right? It's only just top set.
There are no working sets.
There's no working set. So how do you warm up?
You just go straight warm in? Up. Okay. Yeah, you just warm up. But well, the warm-ups aren't intense. They're not demanding. Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they're not tapping into my abilities. Okay. I'm merely acclimating myself to the weights. And I'm acclimating myself to the movement patterns. And that's what the warm-up looks like. So it starts off with me just getting in the groove of the movement. And then I just add a little weight, do 3 reps, maybe do 5 reps until I get into striking range where I know that my top set's going to be performed at. And then I just fucking go for it. And once you do one top set like that, a super intense fucking, you know, fear and pain, you're warm, dude, to go on to the rest of your movements. Like, you're warm. Maybe just one to get the groove of the movement, but that's it.
Is that top set, is there going to be, like, partials and shit or not? It's just, like, it's done. Like,
so, that kind of stuff would be, like, intensity modifiers. So, that would be actually taking things past failure. And I don't do that on everything because the nature of recovery and adapting is so fragile, right? That line is so easy to cross where I would end up not giving myself enough time to recover from that kind of damage. So what I like is I'll do some rest pause stuff where I'll test to see if I really hit true failure by like taking a 10-15 second break and then trying to hit the weight again and see how many I can get. You know, if I can only get it one more rep or 2 more reps, then I know it wasn't my cardio or my pain tolerance that kept me, you know, that made me fail. It was actually true muscular failure. So I really like that one. I like force negatives too, because your muscle and your body is way stronger in the eccentric of a movement. So where you would fail in the concentric portion, you actually still have more strength available to you in the negative. So you could actually fully deplete and stimulate your muscle by adding in some force negatives.
Yeah, I like those.
I don't really do much partial stuff. I like to keep my ROM really full unless it's like a partial movement, but that's about it. The reason would be is, and now that I think about it, is I just don't want to use momentum.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because momentum generates shear forces in the joints. Training with momentum and being chronically overtrained is what leads to having injuries.
Yeah.
So there's actually a few different strength and conditioning coaches that do exactly what I'm talking about with their football teams. And they have the lowest rates of injury in the NFL.
Yeah, that's interesting, because football coaches are notorious for having like there's like high school football coaches who are notorious for just like wrecking teenagers' bodies, having them bench press 315 or whatever for like 10 sets. A friend of mine, one of my best friends, actually, he's now a sculptor, but he was D1 baseball and football, and he played high school football in Kansas, and his coach used to just like he was telling me about some of these workouts they would do, where he'd be, you know, this is a 150-pound kid, and the fucking coach would be forcing him to push 110s, like deadlifting 4 plates, like, and now his body is just like crippled to shit. So it's good to know that some football coaches are changing their minds about, because so much of that mentality is just like, the more we beat these kids up, the stronger they become. And like, obviously that's not actually the case.
I mean, you're working in a closed system. There's only so much that a body can tolerate. You try to make these kids deadlift four times a week and play football and practice football.
Yeah.
It's fucking recipe for disaster.
For sure.
The whole strength and conditioning coach industry, this is funny. You might enjoy this little story, but this all started with a Nebraska college team in the 1970s. These guys won the national championship or whatever. And when all their competitors looked at their team, they saw that they had a strength and conditioning coach. So they all thought they needed to get one, right? So that they could make their teams better and they would win. Well, funnily enough, that none of the starters on this Nebraska team did the workouts. They didn't train with the strength and conditioning coach. None of the starters did workouts. They just played football.
Yeah.
So where did they go and find these strength and conditioning coaches? They found bodybuilders and Olympic weightlifters to come in and teach football players.
Yeah.
There is no skill transfer for any exercise to any sports activity. There's no such fucking thing, dude.
Yeah.
Training with chains and kettlebells is not going to make you a better football player.
No. I mean, this is for sure true. I mean, I just made $6,000. Off the UFC, off the middleweight championship bout between former champion Israel Adesanya and Sean Strickland, current champion, because I just had a feeling, but Sean trains purely, all he does is spar every single day. He beats people up and he gets beat up. And Izzy does all the fancy schmancy MMA martial arts fucking juju. Nevertheless, what happened? Sean just beat the ever-living piss out of him for fucking 3 rounds, because when you're training for a fight, it tracks that you should learn how to fight really fucking well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for pretty much everything.
Yeah, not swinging ropes around.
Absolutely.
Flailing ropes is not going to make you a better fighter.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
I know we kind of derailed. I derailed the conversation, but
that was really cool.
Everything is all fucked up, man. Like everybody's perception is all fucked up, and it's because what they perceive as authorities give them bad information.
Yeah, and also because I think it's also just to the extent that like human bodies are so wildly different in what they respond to. So what worked for, like Jay Cutler was a big volume trainer, but Jay Cutler is fucking Jay Cutler, and that is not going to fucking work for the vast majority of people.
But check this out. There's a common theme that every athlete has. Every one of them that got to the absolute top, if you watch all their training footage, there's this one thing that is a common occurrence across all of them. It's what we call the involuntary slowing of the implement. So when they're training, there's those sets where it slows down, where they're under struggle. That's mechanical tension taking place, and that's what's activating those motor units. You can watch Jay Cutler train, but there's a certain point where his training partner sticks his hands up under the bar and helps him complete those reps. Those are the effective reps that make him grow. Not all that junk volume didn't help him grow. I mean, you got the same pictures. You got Jay Cutler doing fucking T-bar rows with 10 plates, and you got Ronnie Coleman doing the T-bar rows with 10 plates. It's the same thing, man. It's those heavy-ass loads in proximity to failure, which produces growth. What my mission is, and what all those who teach the stuff I do, is to make everything just more streamlined and efficient. Cut out that other stuff. Save your body the time, because you're probably not a genetic elite like Jay Cutler. So you're already at a way worse, foundation to start from.
Yeah.
So just to make it easier on yourself,
Absolutely. Just to end this chat, because I see my wife getting ready for bed over here. top three bodybuilders all time.
I'll let you go first, Lage, because that's something I got to think about.
This is just like personal, like of all time, like the best physique, or just your personal favorite physique?
Personal favorite.
Okay. Nasser. One, I really like Evan Senapani, to be honest.
What?
And then
that's wild.
Evan Senapani. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a random choice, but he seems like one of like the like not dumb dudes in bodybuilding. You know what I'm saying?
But he always dressed like he was one of the dumb dudes, though.
Yeah, not like a beheaded.
Yeah, sure. Like wearing big fucking cargo pants and like a fucking hoodie shit. On stage though, like you know.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck is number three. Probably Luke Sandow. RIP. All right, I forgot to put Dallas McCarver in there, but you know what? You know, interchangeable.
Yeah,
I saw Dallas McCarver in person, guest pose like a month before he passed away.
Damn.
I have that footage on an old phone in my drawer. It's insane. He was like 330 pounds.
He was fucking crazy. Huge.
Yeah,
he was
freaking wild.
Crazy. He's younger than me. Gee, I mean, that's fucking sad shit.
Yeah.
If I'm going by persona and physique, it would probably be Lee Priest, Kai Greene, Ronnie, but I think Phil is like the actual best of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd second that. If I'm going to go with the actual best of all time, it's going to be Phil Heath, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorites, Gunther Schlierkamp.
Oh, yeah, he's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Should have beat Ronnie in 02, man. He should have had an Olympia title. Gave that man sixth place.
Yeah.
The loudest boos you would ever hear at a bodybuilding show, like in history. You watch those videos? That was crazy. The crowd.
Yeah.
They hated that.
I mean, so they Gunther were already pissed. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. They were pissed from what?
Well, I'm just saying they were already pissed because Jay should have won the previous year. So that was kind of the years when they started feeling like they were just giving it to Ronnie because of his seismic charisma. You know?
So, yeah, we got Gunther. And then I would say... probably Brad Warren when he was in his prime.
God damn the way he trains, dude.
Yeah. He's got the intensity right. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me this question the other day, and I had three quick ones. I guess for my third, I'd pick Hottie. For the reasons of just coming from nothing. And just having crazy dense muscle, fucking always shows up peeled, family man, religious, you know, and like a champion to his people. I just think that's super fucking cool. You don't have anyone that's like openly nationalist about their group, you know, representing, doing their thing. I mean, they build statues of this guy where he's at.
I know. It's so cool.
Isn't that fucking great? Statue in
Tehran. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking awesome, man. I think that's badass. And I'm a racist white dude. so I'm like, I'm all about that, you know? Like, that's fucking cool. Hadi Chupan, Branch Warren in his prime. And I really just love the aesthetic of Gunther Schlierkamp. Like, the German giant poster boy, man. Just like very aesthetic, very clean look, crazy, crazy muscle. Awesome fucking bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Excellent choices all around. Billy, hey, thank you for coming on and doing this. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, bro. I
appreciate you having me.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you all soon.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Have a good night.